Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, let Christine Volpe show you how to turn your grief into passion. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, I would like to welcome Christine Volpe. Christine is the site coordinator for pre-kindergarten programs in Staten Island, which is pretty neat, but she has a very serious passion that she is going to share with us today. So Christine, first, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Now, we typically start the show with a quote of some kind, and if you don't mind, I'd like to use the quote that was just printed in the Asbury Park Press newspaper here for one of the top quotes in 2015, and it is actually a quote by you. The relationship doesn't end. You can have a non-physical relationship with your child, even though they're not here. Can you tell everybody what your passion is and where it began?
Sure. I lost my son 4 years ago in a car accident. It was a week before his 18th birthday. You know, like everybody else, you never think it's going to happen to you. And it just kind of strips you raw, you know. And I walked around in a daze, didn't know. I remember asking the priest, I don't know how to do this. You know, how do I do this? How do I be a grieving mother and still be a mother to my other children? And I didn't really know how to do it. I thought of being a little old woman and wearing black with the shades drawn and not wearing makeup. And that's just so not me, but that's how you feel inside. And so as a learning to cope with it and happened very quickly, I started to think about the purpose and why and how, and is there something bigger and where is he? And it really kind of led me to look for signs and read lots of books about the afterlife. And I went for medium readings. Coincidentally, my first medium reading had been planned for 2 years just for fun. And it came up a week after my son passed. And I went to that reading and it was life-changing for me because I believe I connected with my son and he gave me a lot of answers that day, only a week later. And so I really dove deep into exploring the afterlife, and it really led me down a journey. And I met wonderful people in that journey who continued to guide me. And I did attend a support group called Mothers of Angels for parents who've lost children. It was actually for mothers who've lost children. And connecting with other mothers who lost children was really life-saving. But I kind of knew that group had to be more, because as wonderful as it was to be around other people who could share my pain, I needed to learn how to heal. I needed to know how to heal. I needed tools. And I started to learn them on my own and wanted to share it with other people. And I ended up connecting with the founders of the group Helping Parents Heal through the internet. They started this group in Arizona after the loss of their children. Mark Ireland, whose father was a renowned medium back in the days, he was a medium for the stars. And his father had passed, and he really didn't practice or really look into that whole aspect until his own son died, and then started really thinking about what a gift his father had. And he did all the research and the studying, and he started this group called Helping Parents Heal. And so it was, part of it was to explore the afterlife as a form of healing.
And you said there's chapters all over the country and even in Canada. Yes. Of yes. Helping Parents Heal now.
Yes.
And this has become you took your grief and it turned into a passion for you to extend this to other families, correct?
Yes. So I basically, one of the things that I do do is I try and connect parents to mediums. I have a list of mediums that I can recommend through my own interviews, through my own readings, to my own families and friends who've used them, and I kind of connect them together, and it really works miracles for these parents. It's life-saving to know that, your child is maybe physically gone, but they're not gone, and they're always with you. You know that you're going to see them one day and that you can continue the relationship. It's just very different.
Can you share with us any information that mediums have kind of brought across from the other side, whether it was from James for you or for any other people that you know?
Sure. I have thoughts. Well, the very first reading that I had was very, very validating because she did talk about exactly where the accident was and the make and the model of the car and how recent it was. And she did not have my name before the reading, so she couldn't possibly like looked anything up. But at the very end, he said, "I want to remind my mom about our teeth." And he said, she said, "Genetic. There's a genetic connection in our teeth." And when I would take my kids to the dentist, we'd all go get our cleanings together. And the dentist would always tell me, you will know he is your son because you both are genetically missing the same set of teeth." So like that was a huge validation for me,
And I bet even in all the sadness, when these things occur, it just brings back, like, I'm smiling so big right now. And I know it's just such a happy memory that you have with him. And I'm sure that when people communicate from the other side, that they do kind of try and cheer the people up over here or include something that is kind of funny. Is that frequent or no?
At the beginning, yes, absolutely. We actually went to John Edwards about 3 weeks after he passed. My sister, having gotten very interested after my reading, found that he was playing in Asbury Park and managed to get like six tickets for us. And there were 1,600 people in the audience. And the last 50 minutes of the show, John Edwards was reading for us, and it was my son. It was through the eyes, and although it was a lot of tears, and he mentioned what we buried him in, and all the real hard stuff came out. But then at the end, he made a real funny joke about to my ex-husband about he wants to say that he's bigger than you, and he was shorter than my ex-husband, so we kind of looked confused. And then John Edward made a face, and he said, "No, he wants to say he's bigger than you," and it just clicked. We knew what he was talking about. It was a private joke between him and his father. Let's just leave it at that. The whole audience got it. And we were cracking up. The whole audience was laughing. So yes, we do get funny things.
Well, and I think that from different shows and things that I've seen, it's just that when people cross over, they don't want anybody here sad. They want to leave you with that, love and with that love and light.
Yes. And they really don't leave you, and that's the one thing I learned, because again, you never stop wanting to be a parent. So it's, is he okay? Is he happy? Is he this? And what I've learned is, well, they don't miss us because they're always with us. They
Right.
walk side by side.
And when I said leave you, I meant leave you from that conversation, from
Right.
that reading. But
Right.
no, I
Okay.
agree. They never leave you. Absolutely. Now, you started this Helping Parents Heal chapter. How did that work for you? How was that transition? Did you hesitate or did you have challenges getting into that? How did you move yourself? If somebody's out there listening right now and they're saying, wow, maybe this could help me to either go to a chapter like this or to actually start a chapter of my own.
Right.
What
Well,
kind of
first off,
hesitations or challenges did you experience?
it was really, there was none. I'll be honest with you. I had the connections of so many parents. How do I explain this? And I tell my parents this, if you listen and you pay attention, you'll be guided to what your calling is to heal you. They're trying to help you heal. They're trying to help you learn how to live with it, but you have to pay attention. So it could be songs on the radio. It could be hearing the same thing over and over. For example, Reiki. I don't know if you're familiar with Reiki.
Yes.
Okay. That kind of started popping up into my world. I started reading about it. Someone mentioned it once.
Tell everybody what Reiki is.
So Reiki is an energy healing, kind of like a massage or chiropractic. It works on the energy points in your body. And what it does is because we are basically through our everyday emotional challenges and physical challenges, our chakra systems, our energy points could get unbalanced. So what Reiki does is it balances your chakras. So it can help you on an emotional level, a physical level. So I knew nothing, like a lot of people who were listening probably had never heard of Reiki. And it just kept popping up. And a matter of fact, people at work, my job, knew it was around James's 1 year anniversary, and they gave me these crystal bracelets around the time I started hearing about Reiki. And it was from a shop right around the corner from my job that did Reiki. Never even heard of the shop. So of course I had to go in there, and like I feel like I was walked there. And I had my first Reiki session, and I immediately felt the cement block on my chest release. So although I wasn't, healed, or the grief was still there, I didn't, the physical part of the grief really temporarily left me. And so I continued with that. And fast forward, I became a Reiki master. I believe in it so much.
Wow. And the first thing I want to say is what you're talking about is synchronicity and speaking the language of the universe. And if you
Yes.
pay attention to those synchronicities, they're meant for you. And
Yes.
in this scenario here, it was meant for you. It guided you to, another passion, which is now Reiki.
Yes.
Wow. What does doing Reiki look like for you?
Well, for me, I just, because when you give Reiki, you get Reiki. So it was a way for me to continue to heal myself and help others. I know my journey is to help others and to inspire people who are grieving. And it may not be just the loss of a child. It could be a parent. It could be a sibling. It could be a friend, or sometimes even the loss of a relationship or a job.
Right.
A breakup is a form of grief. And so the tools that I've learned can help anybody. And I think that when they look at me and they hear from me, they can say, well, she's been through the worst. If it works for her, then it could work for me too.
Right.
So the Reiki, I don't use Reiki as a money-making opportunity, which it can be and it should be. I feel it's my way of giving back because after my son passed, there were so many people. The community really was phenomenal. I was in awe of how far people went to help us the first year at least, and still to this day. And so I find I do like to give Reiki as a way of giving back.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Thank you.
What do you think through all of this? What do you think you've learned about yourself?
Oh boy, I've grown so much. I've learned to trust in my intuition. I've learned that there is so much more than this physical world. I've learned to let go of control and to ask the universe to guide me, to help me, and to trust that things will all work out and fall into place.
And I bet you've learned some of this stuff through books that you've read. Do you have one that you would recommend to everybody?
Well, the first book, for a grieving parent or someone who's lost someone through death, I happen to like George Anderson's Walking in the Garden of Souls. I think it's just a gentle kind of opening your eyes to the possibilities that there is something more than this physical world.
Okay, and did you, is there another one that you were thinking about?
It all depends on, the route you want to go. And Sylvia Brown goes really into depth about the afterlife. And then there's Robert Schwartz. He writes about pre-birth soul contracts, which is an amazing book.
Okay, now listen, we are talking here about using your grief to fuel your passion. So this part of the show, I usually step up the pace and I call it the Motivate Me Express to Success. But I believe for people to make change, they need to first envision it for themselves and then they need to explore their options and then execute a plan. How can people use grief to fuel a passion? What should they envision or see for themselves to do that?
Strength. I use this analogy with a lot with my parents because it is when you go through something that is life-changing, traumatic, you view the world very differently. And many people kind of retreat into this box. They're afraid of the world. Other people get angry. It's a very, very confusing time. Some people use it as a strength and they grow themselves from it. And I use this analogy a lot. It's about the dog fence. I'm not sure if you've ever heard this analogy.
No.
So, you know, the electric dog fences?
Yeah.
And the dog gets close to it and they get a zap and they,
right. They're
they
invisible.
Right. They're invisible. So the dog feels a little zap and they run back to the security of the home. That prevents them from running out into the streets and running away. So what would happen if the dog ignored the zap and went past that line? Nothing. The dog is now going to be out free, running around, you know, exploring. So I think that we tend to be like that. We live our lives with this electric dog fence. And when we get out of our comfort zone, we get this zap and we tend to run back into the comfort of a security of the known instead of going out into the unknown. And what happens if we went past that uncomfortable zap and tried something different, new, something out of our comfort range? There's so much more beautiful things out there for you.
That is a great analogy, really powerful analogy.
And so that's how I've been living my life since I lost my son.
Wow. So if they were then to explore their options, so if somebody is saying, you know what, Christine, that makes so much sense to me and I want to push through that zap and get out into the unknown. Now, where do I explore what's around me? What would you advise them for that?
Well, I think that they have to really look inside themselves and what is it something that they always wanted to do, whether it's in a career or if it's through travel. Take that first step and do something you always wanted to do but was always afraid to, whether it's what people think or I didn't have enough money or I don't have the time. Take that first step. Then the world opens up. And like we said before, things will start to come. Never sell yourself short. You're capable of anything. My son and I, we started a foundation for James in his name and done lots of really wonderful things. And one of the things we've done is we worked with a drug prevention program and we brought it into the school. And it's called Neural Activity and it marries drug and adventure. So my son, Justin, who is now 18, him and I traveled to Colorado and went mountain climbing and zip lining. And we rappelled down the slot canyons in Utah. These are things that I never thought I would do. Just doing them, you know, not that that's going to be my calling is to be an adventure, but it was just liberating.
First of all, what's the name of your foundation?
The James Volpe Foundation.
Okay. James Volpe Foundation, in case anybody wants to look that up. And sure. I'm going to have links to any information you give me in the show notes for today's episode. So
okay. People
can always find that there. And I love what you're talking about as far as adventure goes, because I don't know if you're aware, but I'm going to be taking my podcast show on the road and I'm going to be doing a 50-state tour. And when I do that, I'm going to be experiencing fun, different things in every state that I go to.
See, that's
so
wonderful.
I love hearing about how liberating it was and how invigorating it was for you to do these things.
Yes.
So to execute a plan then, I know you said just get out and do it. Is there one baby step you think if somebody is saying, okay, I'm going to take this grief, I'm going to fuel some passion with it. What do you think the first step would be?
Well, you know, starting the new year with my group, and I'm always getting new parents, you know, and I have senior parents, one of the things that we really like to do starting the new year is to start to create a vision board. So I'm sure you're familiar with a vision board, but for those people who aren't, is basically you could take a small poster board and you kind of look through magazines and newspapers and cut out words, pictures, things that really make you feel good, whatever that is, if whether it's a picture of you on vacation or just the word strength or... And fill that board up. And then you put that board where you're going to look at it every day. I've actually had some people, like, it was a great idea. They took a picture of it and it's on their phone and they look at it every day. And you put it in a place where you see it multiple times during the day. And it really does help you to stay motivated. It helps you to focus. And I found with each vision board that I have done, by the time I put my next one, I really accomplished a lot on the other one.
I have to tell you that as we were talking and as I do interviews, there's two vision boards directly above me that I constantly, because I kind of sit back in the way I have my microphone comes from the top down. So there's my vision board right there. And there's my husband's. And I was saying in another episode, my husband has 5 pianos on his vision board. And I actually got him a piano for Christmas.
So, wow.
So he got that far. And there's also a giant bottle of Corona Light on there. So I'm pretty sure he's accomplished that by now too. So what kind of closing advice would you leave everybody with?
I guess the most important thing is really working on yourself. It's your inner self, looking in that mirror. And sometimes it's difficult without beating yourself up, because we all make mistakes. And if we kind of look at our time here on earth is a learning journey, we're supposed to learn. We're supposed to make mistakes. We're supposed to grow from them. It's a mind shift is all it is. It's a mind shift. And knowing that we're here for temporary to fulfill a purpose, and then we move on. And there's no judge and jury. We're our only judge and jury.
You and I are really on the same wavelength. We really have the same philosophies, I will tell you that. Now, if anybody would like to reach out to you, do you have contact information you could share?
Sure. They can email me at cvolpe, V-O-L-P-E, 68 at gmail.com.
I was born in 68. That's a great year.
Oh, me too.
Are you on Facebook, Christine?
I am on Facebook. We have Helping Parents Heal New Jersey.
Okay, because we have a private Facebook group called Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. And I would love to make you a member of that so people can also reach out to you there if you like.
Okay, now I'll go on as me, which is Christine Marie is my Facebook name.
Okay, I'll find you that way then. I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. You had such valuable information. And you know, sometimes when we think about grief, we don't understand that you can also pair that and turn it into a passion. And I think you really showed that in a couple different ways today. So thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you. It was really a pleasure talking to you.
And this is the end of the show, everybody. And we're going to give you a go do. So Christine, what do you think they should go do right now to move in this direction?
Start that vision board.
Start that vision board. I like it. Start that vision board. Maybe even look for a Helping Parents Heal chapter in your area or something like it. That would be amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the end of the show, everybody. Thank you so much. Please remember that you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.